Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, December 30th edition of the NBA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you through the second last podcast of the decade. We've got one more tomorrow. Today's going to be a Bellator recap and talk about some fight announcements. Tomorrow's going to be PFL's preview because that card is tomorrow night. And also, I'll talk about Rising a little bit tomorrow. That's actually a pretty good card. There's some good fights in that card tomorrow as well. So I'll do that tomorrow, but today I'm going to do Bellator because it was an okay card. All the favorites won for the most part. I think there was one underdog that won, basically a pick 'em fight, the women's fight. But like most Bellator cards, most of the favorites won. And there was, like, I wouldn't say controversy necessarily, but there was a lot of people kind of questioning the main event. It was kind of a funny ending here, but let's talk about the card. So main event of the evening, Fedor Emelianenko knocks out Quentin Rampage Jackson, 244 into round one. And Fedor looked great. This is probably one of his best performances in years. He looked really fast. He looked powerful. He threw some really heavy punches right off the get-go. Actually threw a really nice kick to the body of Rampage Jackson and then eventually hit it with a massive right straight, and Jackson went down and basically turtled up. The referee jumped in. Never seen Jackson actually get finished by punches before, so the first time that's happened to him. He's been hurt by knees and soccer kicks before back in Pride, but punches is a very rare thing for him to lose to. So Fedor definitely looked good. I mean, he's one of the most powerful punchers probably in MMA history. Like, you look at most of his wins, most of them are by punches. The Chael Sonnen win last before the Ryan Bader fight, the last few wins he had were by punches. Chael Sonnen and Frank Mir, the Fabio fight we can't talk about, but the JD Singh fight, even the Matt Bichrov fight, he knocked him down in that fight. Pedro Rizzo, Satoshi Ishii. So he has a lot of knockout power. We all know that. You know, you can go back to the days of Strikeforce, Brett Rogers, and then Infliction with Andre Arlovski. And you can go down further back to, like, Pride. Like, a lot of his wins were knockout as well there, like the Zulu fight and a couple other ones. So the guy's got huge knockout power. We all know that. I'm just surprised Rampage, you know, didn't do much in this fight. Like, he's, to me, the story of the fight. Like, as good as Fedor looked, don't get me wrong, I don't want to take too much away from Fedor here because he actually looked really good in this fight, like one of his best performances. But Rampage looked terrible. Like, I even wrote on my Twitter, I'm like, this guy trained at Burger King. You know, and I'm not one to talk because, like, honestly, I'm a big guy myself, but, like, Rampage is a professional athlete, a professional MMA fighter, and he showed up, like, in horrible shape. He used to make fun of Daryl Schoonover on Ultimate Fighter, call him titties. Rampage was that guy. Like, he looked really bad in this fight, guys. And, you know, as someone who was backing him, I was a little disappointed. You know, I thought he would actually want to go in there to Japan and show up and win. He didn't care. He just wanted his paycheck and go home. I don't think he threw the fight. Some people think he threw the fight. I don't agree with that. I don't think he took a dive. I just don't think he cared. I just think he wanted to get his money and go home. He even said, he did a little, like, video interview with Bellator. Is doing this pretty cool thing where they're, like, interviewing guys, like, backstage after fights or whatever. Like, they did it with Barnett. He didn't fight, but yeah. And then Rampage. I think it's pretty cool. Like, you kind of get their immediate thoughts. And Rampage basically said, you know, like, it didn't go my way. I didn't think I'd get knocked out, but, you know, I still got paid. So that's all he cares about. And to me, it was a really, really pathetic performance. And I'm not the only one saying this. Like, everyone's saying this. So Rampage, you know, definitely a legend of the sport himself. But this was, in my opinion, maybe the worst performance of his career. And that's saying a lot because he's had some bad ones. Like the Ryan Bader fight back in the UFC, he looked really disinterested in. Even the Chael Sonnen fight last year, he was looked really bad in. But this fight was something else because he got knocked out too. So just a real, real poor performance here by Quentin Rampage Jackson. Fedor, though, looked great. What's next for Fedor? Good question. You know, I watched the Scott Coker scrum. Seems like Josh Barnett is going to be the next guy. And I like that fight. It would have been nice to see Barnett get that fight in against Ronnie Marks. He still can. It's possible. But it seems kind of likely to me now that Fedor is going to fight Barnett next. And that's a really good fight between two legends. Actually, Barnett's a guy that always shows up. So I think that's a really good fight. But Scott Coker also mentioned a rematch with Ryan Bader. So I'm not going to completely write off Fedor fighting Ryan Bader. I know he just knocked out by him last year, but let's be honest, guys, Bellator's heavyweight division is pretty shallow. So don't be shocked if Fedor does fight Ryan Bader. I just think he's probably going to have to get one more fight in and then maybe finish his career against Bader looking for the championship. He's going to fight two more times, most likely in the United States and Russia. There was an interpreter that did a really poor job there night in the cage, in the Bellator cage, and he just basically said Fedor's retiring. Fedor even, like, looked at him and was, like, kind of, like, wondering what he said. Now, you know, I don't understand Russian, but I knew right away that there was a misinterpretation there. It just didn't make sense what he was saying. As someone who's, like, followed Fedor a lot lately, I know that, you know, he's a guy that kind of sticks, like, he has retired before, and he sticks to his word. He told Scott Coker he's going to finish off his retirement tour, and that's what he intends to do. So that the interpreter did a really poor job. So yeah, Fedor is not retired, guys. Some people are confused by that. I think everyone was confused, to be honest with you, but I kind of picked up right away that there's something off here, and we definitely were told later on that Fedor's going to keep fighting. So he'll fight again, and for Rampage, I mean, to me, he's the guy that could be retiring because he looked so bad in this fight, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he ended up hanging up his gloves because it looks like he's just in for the money. And they even asked Scott Coker, you know, what's next for Rampage? He just said, I don't know what's next to him. Does he want to fight again? Sure didn't seem like it. All right, co-main event time. I mean, this was an incredible performance by Michael Chandler. Knocks out Sidney Olah, 259 into round one. You know, I think Sidney Olah is a great prospect. So for me, Chandler knocking out like that was impressive. And this guy should be fighting for the title next. The problem is Pitbull is holding the belt at lightweight and featherweight. He's in the tournament. You know, Bellator doesn't do vacant titles or interim belts. This could be a situation where it's warranted, and you might be able to see a rematch between Benson Henderson and Michael Chandler for the lightweight belt. I'd like to see that personally. I think that's fine. I'm okay with that because Pitbull's going to be tied up. Let's face it, guys. He's probably going to make it to the end of the tournament against AJ McKee. That'd be my guess. So he'll be tied up for next year, and you don't want that division just not having the title defended because it's the lightweight division, and it's one of the marquee divisions in Bellator and all MMA promotions. So to me, if I'm Scott Coker, I'm creating an interim belt. I'm going to have Michael Chandler against Benson Henderson. And for Sidney Olah, he did get knocked out in this fight, but let's keep it real, guys. He took it on short notice, filling in for Benson, and the guy had a 9-fight win streak before that. So this guy will be back. He's still a very good prospect. Just wasn't his night. Michael Chandler proved once again that he is one of the best lightweights in the world, and guys like me who doubted him coming in this fight were wrong. Next up, Michael Page defeats Shinzo Anzai second round via knockout. And, you know, it was an impressive performance, but honestly, guys, I'm kind of bored of Michael Page. Like, I just get bored watching this guy. He fights guys that are way, like, inferior to him. And to me, that just isn't that fun to watch. There's no reason why he shouldn't have fought Lawrence Larkin in this card. And Larkin, in his next fight, he beat Tina Nakamura, and that fight wasn't close either. So two fights that were mismatches. Why didn't they just pair them up against each other and create an actual good fight that would have been a perfect number one contender fight to fight Douglas Lima? Instead, now you have Larkin and Page, who both could get a title shot against Lima, but no one really stands out. It seems likely that Larkin is going to get it, based on what Scott Coker said after the card. Actually, Scott Coker said that Larkin's never fought Lima before, which is not true because they fought at Bellator New York City. So I don't know if he forgot that or if he was trying to, like, pull the wool over the reporter's eyes and they forgot it or what happened there. But they have fought before. So I don't, you know, I'm not against the rematch. I think Larkin Lima 2 is a good fight, but they fought before. So it's kind of weird that he was acting like this is a fresh fight. It's not. Michael Page and Douglas Lima have also fought before, but at least that fight was, like, a lot more interesting to watch. You know, if it's me, honestly, I'd rather see Michael Page fight Douglas Lima next. I just think that's a little bit more of an interesting fight. But if Larkin gets a title shot, that's cool. I just think that Michael Page needs to fight, you know, an elite guy now. Maybe a Paul Daly rematch makes sense. But guys like Shinzo Anzai, really? Come on. Like, this fight was a joke. Larkin's fight was kind of a joke, too. I mean, Nakamura is a tough dude, and I respect him a lot. He's got a lot of experience, but still another guy that he could style on, which he did. So two guys that were massive betting favorites that both won. I mean, no surprise, they're Bellator. Their matchmaking can be kind of questionable at times. Next up, Cannon Watanabe defeats Ilara Joanne via knockout, ground and pound, 439 of round three. It was a really impressive knockout. Watanabe improves to 9-0. Joanne loses. She's 9-5 now. She did beat Beck Rawlings in her Bellator debut, but loses this fight. Disappointing. But yeah, Watanabe looked pretty good in this fight, especially in that last round. And this was the lone underdog on the main card to cash, but it was like a minus 125 underdog. So basically a pick-em fight with a slight lean towards Watanabe, who's actually a very good prospect in the flyweight division and someone that you could see in that tournament if Bellator ends up doing it. And last but not least, taking off the card, Goide Yamauchi defeats Darren Cruikshank via submission, rear naked choke. And me and Cole both called this fight to a TV. Both said he'd win by submission. And Goide Yamauchi improves a 3-fight win streak. And Cruikshank, he's actually lost 3 fights in a row. So Cruikshank's a very popular guy at Ryzen. I don't expect him to get cut anytime soon. But for Yamauchi, you know, talk about possible vacant title, like, or an interim title fight. This guy could be another person throwing his hat in the name. Like, he's definitely good and he's improved. He has lost to Chandler already, but he's improved since then. And there were a bunch of other fights in the card that showed after the main card. Like, Jared Brooks won his fight. John Tuck won his fight. A couple other fights. But I honestly didn't end up watching them, so I'm just looking at the results right now. Overall, though, I mean, the main card was okay. But, yeah, I mean, it just – I don't know. Like, I like Bellator. I want to give them a chance. Like, I've been watching them since the beginning. But it does get boring seeing all the big favorites win at almost every card. Like, I just would like some more competitive matchmaking. That's all. Like, you look at the odds for this card, most of them are very lopsided. And is it that hard to ask for some more competitive matchmaking? All right. Let me get to some fight announcements. UFC Columbus, that takes place in March. That's the Francis Ngannou and our Zeno Rosenstruck card, which is going to be a fun card taking place March 28th in Columbus, Ohio. So we already know Nagano versus Rosenstruck and a Sun Sal versus Cody Garbrandt is going to take place in that card. And now we got some other really fun fights here. So let's start with this one. Greg Hardy against Jorgen De Castro. I love this fight. Great fight. You know, Greg Hardy, say what you want about the guy. And listen, he deserves every criticism he gets. The guy is taking tough fights. And this is another really tough fight. After losing to Volkov in the last fight, nice fight facing De Castro, who's undefeated, 6-0. And he looked amazing in his UFC debut, defeating Justin Talfa by knockout. This guy is extremely powerful. He's a very good fighter. Greg Hardy is honestly pretty solid as well, but I think De Castro is a level above at this point. And I do like De Castro to win this fight. I'm kind of hoping Greg Hardy is the favorite because I want to bet on De Castro. I believe in this guy. I think he's a really good up-and-coming heavyweight. I know he's a little bit older at 32. He's older than Greg Hardy by 1 year, but still, both these guys for the heavyweight division are actually pretty young. So I do like De Castro here. Hardy could win for sure because he does have knockout power, but De Castro is, in my opinion, a little bit more well-rounded, a little bit more just dangerous right now. Next up, we have light heavyweight bout at UFC Columbus between Khalil Roundtree and Sam Alvey. So interesting fight here. Khalil Roundtree, 8-4 record, and he's been really inconsistent in UFC. His last fight got knocked out by Ion Cotalaba. Before that, beating Eric Anders, a really good performance, but so inconsistent. Remember the loss to Johnny Walker? That was before that a knockout win over Gokutsaki, where he looked amazing. So he's kind of like one of those guys that goes win-loss, 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 and it's very hard to trust those guys. Sam Alvey, a very experienced guy, 33-13, but he's actually lost 3 straight fights. Hasn't looked very good lately. I didn't like the move to light heavyweight. He had to do it because he couldn't cut down to 185 anymore, but he has not looked good at light heavyweight. He's on a losing record there. You got to like Khalil Roundtree here, guys. He probably does knock Sam Alvey out. Next up, women's strawweight bout, Tisha Torres versus Mizuki Inoue. Tisha Torres, she's tailed off. She started off her UFC run with a nice run. She had won 6 of 7 fights and gone to title contention since then, lost 4 straight fights. And she hasn't looked very good. And the problem with Tisha Torres is, like, all of her fights go decision. She has one fight in her whole career that didn't go distance. That was a submission win against Juliana Lima. Every other fight she's had has gone the distance. She's not very fun to watch. I don't think UFC likes her very much. This is a fight for Inoue to win. Inoue is actually coming off a nice win against Yanni Wu in her UFC debut. She's someone that should have been in the UFC a long time ago. Very good prospect. Only 25 years old, has a lot of experience. Another fighter that has a lot of decisions, but she has a lot of finishes too. I actually am a little bit higher in Inoue. I know Torres is, she is a good fighter for sure. Like, she has good takedown defense and good striking, but when you can't finish fights, you're in trouble. And I do think Inoue has a good chance to win this fight. And I think the UFC just, they're kind of souring on Tisha Torres. If she loses and loses 5 straight fights, she's getting cut. There's no doubt about it. Carlos Felipe versus Jeff Hughes, that's a heavyweight fight. I've already talked about this fight, so I'm not going to talk about it again, and that should be an interesting one. But the other fight that was announced for this was Davey Grant against Louis Smolka in the bantamweight division. Davey Grant coming off a really nice win over Grigory Popov to bounce back after 2 straight losses. He's another guy who's been very inconsistent. He's been fighting in the UFC since 2013 and only has 5 fights, so he fights less than once a year. But when he does fight, he's actually kind of fun to watch. And then Louis Smolka, he is looking really good lately. He won 5 of his last 6, coming off a nice knockout win over Ryan McDonald. Probably the best we've ever seen him look in the UFC. But overall, he has struggled at times in the UFC. So this is an interesting fight. I think most people will favor Smolka. And I do a little bit too, but don't count out Dangerous Davey Grant. He is actually stylistically not a bad fight for him. So don't be surprised if he does win. And the last fight announcement here, UFC 248. That's the card in March in Las Vegas. We got Emily Whitmire against Pollyanna Vienna, and let's pull a Whitmire here. Whitmire is like pretty good too. Very dangerous ground game for sure. 4-3 record, just 2-2 in the UFC, but at times looks really dangerous. Like the win over Albu was very good. That was, I think, the fastest win in UFC women's strawweight history by submission. Coming off a loss to Amanda Ribas, but we know Amanda Ribas is actually a very good fighter. And then Pollyanna Vienna, she's also kind of dangerous at times, but I don't know, like she's kind of tailed off a bit. Beat Maya Stevens in her debut and then lost 3 straight fights since then. But most of her wins are by stoppage. All 10 of her career wins are by stoppage. So for a women's strawweight, she finishes her fights. This should be an interesting fight for sure. But I do like Emily Whitmire. I just think she's a better fighter. And I think she does get the submission here. So that's going to be it for today's show, guys. I'll be back tomorrow morning to break down PFL, the finale. This is going to be a great card. 6 championship fights and a couple of non-title fights. And then the Ryzen card tomorrow should be actually pretty good as well. So I'll break down that as well. But you, if you want, in the meantime, you can go to maosberger.com and check out my written previews for those cards and check out the opening odds for them. All right, guys. So once again, thanks for tuning in. Podcast, maosberger.com. Also check me out at bjpenn.com. Got a lot of articles up there on Bellator and MMArings.net. I got an article on what I think should be next for Fedor. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in. One more podcast left for 2019, guys. Tomorrow morning. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.